At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
Your local, the everything you need to be unstoppable store. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. The UPS store locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours may vary. See center for details.
Homegrown Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head.
West Coast.
Look, shouts out to Payday LA. Best damn rap show in Los Angeles, man. Got a chance to host the last one. Head, you made a special appearance.
I didn't make a special appearance. I just pulled up.
Hey, that's a special appearance. You don't be going to, but you go a lot of places, but you don't, you know what I'm saying? It's rare to see you out on a school night.
Very rare to see me
so
out on a school
you was
night.
Out there. Your first takes on Payday LA, your first experience. What did you think?
I thought it was dope. I mean, obviously, I pulled up because, you know, a couple of the homies were performing. Shout out to Tay F3rd. Yeah. He called me. Ty Hollywood called me out, too. He's like, you left? I'm like, bro, listen. Let me check this out, dog. It's a school night, okay? I ain't finna be fucking with y'all all night. I'm just not. So, anyway, shout out to Tay F3rd. Asia.
Mm-hmm.
I was really impressed with Coast Contra. I'm going to keep it real with you, though. I want to minimize my Payday LA talk just because I feel like I like what's being done with it. I feel like it could be done a lot better and a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also part of the reason I haven't really pulled up is because I feel like Payday LA is a dope platform,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like they need to step their game up.
There it is.
So shout out to Aprez and shout out to Quest Coast, what they doing. I don't know what Quiz's involvement or not involvement no more, but I feel like Payday LA could really be something bigger than what it is. So
what do you think the missing component is?
Well, it's a few things. Mm-hmm. I think that, but see, here's the thing. My bias comes with like experience,
mm-hmm.
and I have the privilege of having so much experience in that way where I feel like I think they should enterprise it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've actually offered that, you know what I'm saying, like labels hit me up all day every day,
mm-hmm.
you know, record labels bring in artists, new artists. You can Payday LA could be something where if you perform there and you kill it, you can get signed.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that. It's not that.
Right.
Coach Contra, I think, needs to be signed to somebody.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Villain Park, I think they need to be signed to somebody. Mm. I think it's a dope platform, and I feel like if they were to really take it to the next level, take it serious, not just like I'm going to throw shows. And I don't know how serious they take it or don't take it, or right. y'all or whoever. I don't know who puts it together or whatever. But I feel like Payday LA could be something where it's a staple in L.A., like Homegrown. It's a staple in L.A., like, you know, don't come to LA.
Right.
Where people look to it for the next thing, and it could be a vehicle to really get people some money.
Right.
What I think is missing, the business. I think it need to be wrapping some more business. It need to be some more people coming in, some more people coming on board, some endorsers, some sponsors, maybe even some swap outs. Like you can trade. You don't always have to be like it don't always have to cost money. It could be like it could be just something as simple as reaching out like, yo, hey, I want to do this. Can you connect me? Yeah. I haven't received none of those phone calls.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? The same thing for Don't Come to LA. I feel like it could be bigger.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like we just, and again, I have the privilege of having experience. I did, you know, I was a club promoter for nigga 8 years.
Yeah.
So I have the experience of knowing how to do shit the right way. I think it just comes with reaching out and hitting up people that know that has more experience in this avenue than you do. I still reach out.
Mm.
I talk to Charlamagne once a week.
Just tap in.
I called him yesterday. Like, hey,
nigga, hey, nigga, what's up?
Give me some game.
I need something.
Give me some game.
Right.
Big boy, mm-hmm. I'll tap in. Hey, give me some game. You know what I'm saying? Angie Martinez, when I catch her up here in the hallway, I stop her.
Right.
Hey, tell me something.
Something, right.
Give me something.
Yeah.
Like, I know people look at me like, they look at us like we own,
mm-hmm.
but you never too big or too evolved to stop learn to not learn anymore. So I feel like a lot of these, even with Rosecrans Vic, I feel like that thing could be bigger. Mm. It's just a lot of things that I feel like should be bigger than they are. If people were to put the effort into, I mean, I get it, do it on your own, because that's what we did.
Right, and I think that's what the misconception is. I remember, I'll let you finish your thought, but I know that certain people's mindset, and even I go into this as well, like, sometimes you're so used to doing it on your own that you think that people aren't going to offer that information up.
Yeah,
you know, it pays the cost to be the boss. Like, yeah, a lot of people, though, these are these mindsets that people have, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think it just needs to be said more often.
Yeah.
In radio, we've had the privilege to know how radio works, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of music and talk breaks and things of that nature, we've said things on the radio and people call us 2 minutes later, or play a song that's on the radio and people call 2 minutes later. Hey, can you do this? Can you say this? What's up with those tickets? Can you play this? We just played that.
That's
so
fact.
I think the programming, the aspect of that, and just saying it over and over, and that's why I just asked you, because I know your thoughts on it, but I think you publicly saying something about it, me publicly saying about it, me extracting those thoughts and those ideas and making sure that people hear it and see it over and over again. And we just did the whole come up show for, man, about a month,
bro. And the thing is, and
people are hitting me now, how do I submit my music,
bro? Somebody hit me who's in the music industry heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, bro, I don't know. How do you get your shit on? How do you do this? And I'm just like, and you know what? You know what? Let's wait. I don't want to talk about the come up show yet. I'm going to wait till it's completely over.
Okay.
So we talk about the come up show next week.
Gotcha,
that way
gotcha.
We can talk about everything.
Freely. Exactly. Exactly.
And I can talk about everything.
I got you.
How I want to talk about
it. Don't trip. So look, but the overall message that I do want to get across and make sure that people understand is, it's okay. Offer, ask. It's okay to ask for information.
Bro.
Don't be upset that you don't get information. Let's say somebody runs up to you head or DMs you or tries to contact you, and for whatever reason they don't get the response they want.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let that stop you. Like, mm-hmm. don't let that make you not ask the next person. Maybe head isn't your vehicle. Maybe Chuck is or isn't your vehicle. Maybe the next person isn't your vehicle. That shouldn't stop you from wanting to succeed. I was talking about that on my Instagram Live the other day. Somebody asked me how to get into radio. And they asked if 40 was too old. And I said, not if you want to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
If you want to get into it. I seen you said that on your live as well. Like, nothing's going to stop you from getting it. You know what I mean?
Nothing.
And if somebody is stopping you from getting it, you don't want it bad enough.
Facts.
So that, I think I'm glad we talked about that. And I definitely want that point to be said a little more often, so people understand, like, when you ask us questions or DM us or see us in the streets, whether it be regarding your music, whether it be regarding business or just how to move with what you want to do, don't let the roadblock stop you.
Yeah.
Because if the roadblock stops you, then it ain't. If it's easy, if it's what's the term? If it's easy, everybody's meant to have it.
Right. Exactly.
So,
and then also too, something that G Malone told me, shout out to Glasses. He told me this a while ago. I remember this is how crazy shit is, and I want to talk about, remind me to talk about rehab too, Fate specifically. But what's dope is I remember like certain moments. You know how you say you have two moments, like when Homegrown got on Real,
right,
and then the LA Times or some shit, right? So
don't play us, dog. The LA Times is some big shit.
That's some big shit.
No, they said it's LA Times, some, you know, that cool little shit like that.
But no, I remember literally, you know, when you on the 105,
mm-hmm,
going towards the 110,
yep,
and that interchange right there,
yep,
where they filmed that movie Speed, because we old heads.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember we was right there waiting at that light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one from going from the 105 to the 110, it's that, right, it's that long ass,
right, that stretch
mm-hmm, where there's a stoplight right there.
Mm-hmm.
And G was like, and Glasses was like, look, head, if something's supposed to change your life, why would it take any less than a lifetime to get it?
Wait, say that again.
He said, if you working for something that's gonna change your life, why would it take any less than a lifetime to get it?
Damn.
He told me that almost 10 years ago.
Wow.
And so, I remember where I was. I remember sitting in a passenger seat in his Bentley.
Did you have like that profound moment, like, oh shit, this is gonna change my life? Or was it just information that you soaked in that it just now hits you like, damn, this is it? After you've accumulated the success,
it just hit me like, I mean, it certain things like that moments stay with me.
Gotcha.
That I remember of things happening along the way.
And that's like, one of those moments.
That's one of them things. So another thing is I want to shout out to Faye Tay
from Rehab.
Shout out to Rehab Radio. She came up. So we were at the
Payday LA
show, and she came and she pulled me aside and was telling me like, yo, She's like, what you said one day changed my life.
Damn.
And I was like, and that's been happening more and more frequently, and I'm still not used to it. Mm-hmm. But she was like, I think what I said is, on the podcast, I said something about, I was talking about like, if you don't want to be better than you were yesterday, then stay the fuck from around me.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was in the car, right, listening to the
podcast.
She was in the car. Shout out to Faye Tate. She was in the car, and she said, fuck that. I'm average as fuck right now.
Hey, you just have a realization like, damn, I'm fucking up.
Yo. So she was like, I'm fucking average right now. Fuck damn. That. Like, I need to do this. She's like, I start cutting shit out. I start cutting people off. I just start doing shit. And she's like, I need to turn up. Like, I need to get my shit together. Cause she was like, I ain't gonna lie. Like, after the homegrown shit and the facility, she was like, and I don't even know if she want this out there, but fuck it. She's like, you know, she was kind of like discouraged a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, man, he right. Like, if you're gonna do it, you're gonna do it.
Right.
It don't matter who helped you, what your circumstances are. If you, bro.
That's my point. I think people so often, and that's a good point in terms of like teams and who you rolling with, who you associate yourself with. Things ain't gonna go the way you expect it, right? Mm-hmm. And you're gonna get thrown off. And I think what I can attribute that to is it helps build your character.
Yeah.
And that allows you to be able to take on that next test in life or whatever the next thing is in your life. Like, when people ask me about hosting shows or being on the radio, or they're like, man, sometimes you sound so comfortable. I'm like, this didn't happen today. Like, it took 10, 15 years to get to this point where it's so fluid. And, you know, even your personality, like, that shit, even as raw as raw it is right now, it's still a polished version of what you were 10 years ago.
Oh, I couldn't be who I was.
Oh my God, I forgot what I was listening to. I forgot what it was, but I was like, "Ooh, nah, that wouldn't last right now."
Oh no,
certain words and certain just the ideology is crazy. But that's supposed to happen when you evolve.
Yeah.
You know, over years, you learn certain things. And even going back to Nipsey Hussle, like seeing certain interviews that I've obviously been seeing a lot of things surface. Going from what he was to where he was prior to his passing, it was like that was a total transformation.
Complete in front of our eyes.
In front of our eyes.
And I think, anyways, I wanted to shout out to her because that keep happening to me. Like people, like shout out to Ani. You know, she's another person who told me some wild shit.
Big Boys Neighborhood.
Yeah, she was like, you know, you changed my life, the way I'm thinking, and it's just like, and then I want to shout out to EJ the DJ.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I jumped on the phone with EJ, and we talked for about an hour, you know, yesterday, and I was telling him like I just called to check in on niggas, like, you know, ever since the Nip shit, I just like I called my mom, right. I just called people, called my grandparents and shit, and so. I was talking to EJ and he was like, bro, like, you don't understand like how you and Chuck like have impacted my life. Like, he was like, bro, like, and he ran down his schedule to me, mm-hmm. as far as he go to his 9-to-5, then he go to his other 9-to-5.
Oh, EJ be going in, bro.
He go to his 9-to-5, then he go to his other 9-to-5, and then he DJ with Styx, and then he go to the studio and do show rehearsal, and then he drive all the way out here to go to Dash Radio to do his radio show. Then he edit on his lunch breaks. It's like,
and he got a family.
And he got a wife and kid. Like, but that's what I'm talking about, though. That's how you go.
That's how you get it.
That's how you get it. Because I don't want to hear none of that other shit. Like, I just don't want to hear it. And so, anyway, he said that he appreciated, like, some words, I guess, I gave him along the way. And it made him realize, like, nigga, you can do it. You just got to want to do it.
Right.
It's a way to do it.
It's a way to make it happen.
So, you know, shout out to EJ. Anyway, I'll just keep getting these conversations. I want to keep inviting those conversations into my life because it consistently gives me, because, like, we be in the studio, right?
Mm-hmm.
We be on the radio. I'm talking into a mic.
Right. We don't know.
I don't know who the fuck is listening to me.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? I was trying to explain this to somebody yesterday about how difficult it is to do what we do because you have no idea who's talking to you.
There's no audience out there in front of you. Like, physical audience, you can't see people react. You're going off the assumption of, like, okay, like, it's out there.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to deal with at times, but I think, to your point, you figure out, like, okay, I got this platform, mm-hmm. and I know for me, for sure, I think about this all the time. It's like, what am I going to do with it now?
Yep.
How can I help? How can I be of service? How can I be of value? How can I do this for the next person? Because, like you said, that Nip shit really hit It's about a month. It's still difficult to even think about. And I'm like, damn, Nip was doing all of this shit.
All the extra credit, as Silas would say.
Exactly. All of the extra credit. And you just think like, damn, okay, what the fuck am I doing?
What the fuck am I doing? I think about that shit. I think about that shit all the time. And that's why I like those conversations, because it allows me the perspective of somebody else who is receiving the information, as opposed to me always just
giving it out,
dishing it. Because I feel like, man, like, I'm just trying to give some game. I'm trying to spread some knowledge. I'm trying to give people shit that nobody gave me.
Right.
Nobody gave, you know, we had to just figure it out. And I just want people to understand, like that's what, going back to the Payday LA, the Rosecrans shit. Hit me up.
Yeah. Reach out. It's not that hard. It really isn't.
Yeah, hit me up.
I've been doing that too, just reaching out to people like, look, that's been my thing for the last 2 weeks. Reaching out like, yo, how can I help you?
Right.
What you calling me for? How can I help you?
I don't want nothing.
What you got going on right now? How can I help?
I don't want nothing.
And people get thrown off by that. And I think some people aren't ready. But you got to be ready for those opportunities too.
Yeah.
And I was saying this as well on my live, like, and I feel like it's said over and over again, but F it, I'm going to keep on saying it. If somebody's willing to help you, or if you got something, somebody that you want to work with, don't just hit them with a vague message, just a random, yo, hey, let's build, let's network.
Yeah.
I'm starting to look over them shits.
Yeah, yep.
I don't care. Like, how can I help you?
Yep.
I would much rather you say, look, this is what I got. Give me a paragraph long of what you got. What you got going on. What you got going on.
Yep.
And this is how you, Chuck Dizzle, or Homegrown, or DJ, whatever, DJ Head, this is how you can help me out.
Yep.
If I can do it, I'm on it. Bet. If I can't, I'll let you. Hey, look, I can't do this, but
I will definitely let you know.
Yeah. I'll definitely let you know. But I think a lot of people they just like the elevator conversation.
I just want to have conversation.
No, I'm talking about just the elevator conversation. Just talking,
just a small talk.
Just a, hey, man, what's going on? Like, how you doing? You don't really care. Like, you don't really care how I'm doing. Just, what's up? What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be much more appreciative of that versus the bullshit small talk.
Yeah.
Hey, man, let's build. Nah, man, what's up? What you trying to do?
What we building?
What we building?
Nigga, what we using?
I got this over here. What's up?
What we using? Some wood?
Exactly. Like, be detailed in what you're trying to do with somebody. I think individuals would appreciate that more. And not only that, it's going to help you out in the long run when you do have those situations. It helps you build that vision for yourself.
Yeah.
So,
shout out to that. Another thing I wanted to touch on before we get into this other shit is I wrote something down.
This thing, hey, you don't never write nothing down.
Man, but I really wanted to have this conversation.
So you wrote it, but you oh, something like
that. It was about relationships.
Oh, here you go. You know what's funny is that we hadn't had one of these in a minute.
Yeah.
So now, okay, what's up?
So, people been like constantly talking to me about like relationships and stuff like that, right? And in what regards? Like, you know, when are you looking for one?
Oh, okay. For you, like, hey, you settling down. Right, right.
Are you happy being buried in your work? All that kind of shit, right? And I'm like, yeah.
Actually,
yeah. I'm perfectly content doing what the fuck I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody said something to me that stood out, and it was like interesting to hear a different perspective. And she said that, what did she say? She said that,
do you have this text message?
Yeah.
Lined up?
Let me pull that shit up.
It's probably one you can't have us read.
Nah. You can't read this one. You can't read this one for sure.
Out of all the text messages, I can't read this one?
No, you can't read this one.
And some pictures involved too?
It's all that.
It's crazy.
Okay. So she said that I project unhappy. She said I project unhappiness onto the idea of like relationships. So basically,
depends on how this looks, but I mean,
so I look at relationship with like a negative connotation.
Right, got you.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
So she called me out on that, and I was like, "Damn, that's true. I do actually look at a relationship with a negative connotation only in relation to what I do.
Okay.
And my program and how I do. Like. I was at the radio station till 3 a.m. the other day. Right. Came back yesterday morning and got up and came back at 10 because we had to do photos and shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying? And then I was here until midnight.
Right.
I literally was at iHeart.
That was like the early days. Like,
exactly. Like, I was here at 10:30 in the morning and I didn't leave until 11:45 at night or midnight.
Right.
Last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then got up again, and I was up till 2 because I got severe insomnia. Or no, I was up till like 3, and then went, fell asleep, and then woke up at 8 and came back.
So you're saying the negative thoughts that you portray on relationships is because I ain't got time to think about that. I got to get it.
I'm not concerned.
Right.
I don't give a fuck about how your day is going.
It's not a priority.
It's not a priority at all. And so, but I'm honest about that. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is I noticed that this is a conversation I was having, is women tend to want, however you want to generalize, women tend to want an ambitious, world-conquering man, a man that's going to go out and take over the world, but I would still want you to make time for me.
Right.
It's like,
where's that fine line?
Okay, right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you successfully do it, and you married, and y'all been together 10 years or some ridiculous amount of number.
There goes the negative thoughts. But, how come you can't be happy for the 10 years? Damn. Give my 10 years. Like, man, you've been at 10
okay.
years.
You've been at it 10 years.
At least, man, I can't see how you do it. That's amazing.
That's amazing. Especially with your wife, because she's a gangster.
She a crip.
So, you know what I'm saying? But
not really. But.
I don't know. So, anyway, the negative kind of, I dug into that. Mm-hmm. And I think the negative connotation comes from the expectation of obligatory things.
Okay.
So, I don't like being obligated to do nothing.
And just period.
Period.
That doesn't have to be relationship.
It don't even have to be.
Okay, which is fair enough.
I don't want to have to do shit.
Right, and the relationship is a lot of have to do shit.
Exactly. I don't want to go to no baby showers ugly-ass homegirls.
I just went to 2 of them in the last week.
Fuck that shit. I don't want to wear no matching sweaters. I don't want to go take holiday pictures. I don't want to do the prom poses on the beach. I don't want to do none of that. I just don't want to.
Why not?
Because it's stupid.
No, damn that. So you don't want to do it. Let's pull back a little bit. You don't want to do it because you have to, or you don't want to do it because it's stupid?
Both.
Because there's things I'm sure that's stupid that you got to do that you've done.
Yeah, work related.
And you don't talk about it.
Work related.
But you don't mention it. You don't say, oh man, this is stupid at work.
Because it's a priority.
Okay, that makes sense.
And like you said, that shit's not a priority to me. So anyway, I end up jumping into another conversation. And here's the kicker, right? This is what I had to tell one of my homegirls. So she be with her boyfriend, or it's a situationship. She's with the nigga, right? She's with the guy in her house.
Okay.
And she's like, why he put his phone face down?
Oh shit.
And I'm like, I said, this is my problem with you women and the psychology. What's wrong with you women? Because this happened to me before. I said, think about this. You're in my bed.
Right.
Naked.
I'm doing all of this.
You're in my bed naked, and you're worried about someone calling my phone. Think about that. Just really think about that. Does that fucking make sense to you? I said, okay, would you rather switch places with old girl?
Right.
You calling me and she naked in my bed? Right. Well, no. Exactly. So what the fuck are we talking about?
Hey, man.
Ask Chuck Dizzle. Does that make sense to you?
It depends on how you're looking at it. If the person's giving them a reason to be upset, then yes. If they're not paying attention to them, right? So let's say...
No, the phone is down.
The phone is down, but I'm talking about this is before that.
Okay.
If she's been trying to reach old boy that lives there, or he's just at the house.
He's at the house.
What if prior to that, some shit just don't add up? Like, I think the actions prior to that makes everything... makes sense for that. Leading up to that moment, the actual, I don't know what I'm trying to say, like it makes the most sense in that particular moment. So if she's already feeling insecure, he's already doing some things that's making her feel like, I'm not too sure, prior to that moment, it's going to enhance that feeling.
Yeah.
If he's doing the world, if he's giving her all the time, she got the passcode and all that, like if she's at, let's just say this, if she's asked him in the past, hey, let me see your phone real quick, whatever, and he doesn't flip out, or there's other things that lead up to it and he's not tripping, then she don't need to worry about his phone being down or who's calling him. It don't matter. But if those signs leading up are like, then yeah, then she has every right to feel that way.
Okay.
So that's my thing on that particular issue. So it just all depends on what leads up to that particular moment.
Okay.
Now, if you just generally just go there, then yeah, that's a problem, because that might have been issues that you've had with the last boyfriend or past situation. You can't bring that into the new situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of that. If you bring your past shit into the new situation, you're going to set yourself up for failure off top.
So, okay, that's fair. I'm just saying.
You got to just ask for this information, head.
What you mean?
Just ask for the information.
Nah. I don't ask questions.
No, I'm talking about the what you don't understand about the relationship aspect.
Oh, no, no, no. I understand. See, the problem is I do understand.
Okay. You just.
That's the problem.
Okay.
Because I don't indulge in the frivolousness of it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's like. I don't entertain the top. You know me. I always want to know why.
Right.
Why, what, where. That's the conversation I was having with EJ. Mm-hmm. EJ, the DJ, told me, he said, yo, I used to think, he's like, low-key, I used to be offended by you because you would always ask me why. And I used to think you was trying to be funny. And so it low-key bothered me because I'm from Watts. Like, I don't, right, like, right. I thought you was on some other shit.
Yeah.
So,
But again, that boils down to conditions. He's conditioned to think a certain way, so
right.
Of course he's going to think that way.
So I was, so he was like, when he used to tell me, hey, I want to be a DJ, I want to be a homegirl, and I used to say, why?
Yeah.
And he was like, what you mean why? Like, then you're like, I want to do this. It's like, yeah, but why do you want to do it? Mm-hmm. And so the problem is I understand too much and I dig in the motherfuckers.
Right.
And I want more and more. It's like when we had a conversation about the drinking, mm-hmm. I was like, hey, why?
Right, right.
Like, why do you, where
I'm
do you
like,
think
this? Because this, you're like, no, but why? I'm like, because it's family shit. No, but why? I'm like, well, damn, because of this, this, and this. And you're like, okay, but see, you're a person that craves information as well.
Right, yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, you that... Again, going back to what you want and what you like, that's what satisfies you.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyway, I just thought that we could put a button on that. I just thought that that was very interesting as a friend of mine called me out, and then it made me start thinking about why. And then it's like, oh, okay, I do associate relationships with a negative light based on experience, one, but I also learn from the mistakes of others.
Mm.
I also see what, you know, you and Tasha go through. I see what other people go through in their relationships trying to get to where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, that's probably not feasible for me.
Right, right.
Because I'm gonna do extra credit all day for work.
And that's smart.
And I mean, for the city.
Yeah.
I just said, matter of fact, I just had another revelation too. 3 days ago, I'm in the car. I think I'm with Salas. And I said, you know what's fucking crazy? It blew my mind. I think I want to help the world more than I want to help myself.
That's smart. I mean, that makes sense.
But I'm talking about, I want to help everybody else before I help me, like my family and this and that. Like, and it's crazy to think like that. But it's like, I'd rather skip my mom's retirement party to go to a school and talk to kids.
Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's shit like that. And I know how that sounds out loud, but it, like, in my mind, it makes sense.
No, I mean, the thing, again, you're peeling back the layers as to why people do certain shit. So me knowing you, that doesn't sound off because I know the type of person that you are. I know, you know, based off our conversations and even stuff that we mentioned on the podcast, the things that you struggle with growing up,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So with you and your mom, you don't. There's no need for you to go to her retirement party. You'd rather get her a house.
Yeah.
Or you'd rather make sure the cell phone bills, whatever, right?
Yeah,
you want to make sure the practical shit is taken care of. And that goes back to, why are we celebrating you retiring?
Right.
Why?
Why?
For what? So to me, that doesn't sound to the average person. I'd be like, man, that's your mom's though. It's like, well, nah, there's other things that I've done for her, you know, that I want to do for her. So yeah, I want to give some game to the kids because I didn't have that.
I didn't have
that. That's more important, and that's going to affect more lives than you showing your mother appreciation. You've already done that. You will continue to do that.
That's how I feel.
Off top. So, I mean, I get it, but I can understand why people may not understand that.
That's how I feel.
Bruh, man. A lot of other stuff going on, man. I feel like LA's been taking a hit, bro. Like, obviously the Nip shit.
Yeah.
We just lost John Singleton as well.
Yep.
It's crazy that these moments are happening. And you know what it is? Just as...
We get old.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
We old, dog.
We getting old. Older, for sure. And now I'm starting to understand, like, the stuff that my parents were telling me years back.
Keep living.
Keep living.
That's all they
used. Keep living because, yo, it's like your homies. It's homies, it's people that you looked up to, and it's people that are relevant to your life. Like, there's no, like, how do you, like, just, I don't know how I can put it in, like, normal terms, but it's like, you just never think about certain actors or people. You just think they're just going to be alive forever, just there.
Yep.
And then when they're gone, you're like, damn, like, I'm not going to sit here and say I was the biggest John Singleton fan, but it's like, damn, that was my childhood. Like, all the movies that he contributed to and had something a part of, Boys in the Hood, man, Poetic Justice, all these things that he did. I'm like, yo, those are timeless movies. And I remember exactly where I was at when I seen Boys in the Hood. That was like one of the first movies that I saw. My mom took me to the theater, and I remember when Trey was humping on Nia Long, whatever her name is in the movie, I forgot, but I remember that and her covering my eye. Like, I remember those moments. You just don't think that the people that create them are gonna be gone. So it's just weird when people pass away like this. Yeah, it's just a trip. It's just a trip, man. But like you said, just keep on living. Like, that's one of those things that the older generation preps you for, but you can't ever think about it until you experience it on a day to day. And I feel like with so many of the losses that's happening, and the younger the people are that are passing, like, he was 51.
That's not
51 is not old at all.
Hell no. And you know, it's the crazy about the perspective too, is when I was little and people was passing away, I'm like, oh, he old.
Oh, exactly. Bruh. That's what I'm saying. 51 is not old. Like, yeah, 10 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, kind of up there. 51 is not old, man. 51 is like, bruh, this man, you can think of just people that are just starting their life or just doing what they're doing at that point, from that age, man. So it's just a reality check. Like, geez, man, it's, you know, so definitely rest in peace to John Singleton. But again, it activates that thing into you, like, yo, like, automatically go with, okay, I'm 30. I'm going to be 36 next week.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. All right, what I got to do? Nip made it to 33.
Yeah.
Fuck, like, you feel guilty because the cats that didn't make it, you know, that has so much potential, they're doing this with their lives. They didn't get a chance to see this age. And then you look ahead like, well, damn, if I only have that many more years. Like, I was always freaked out. This is totally unrelated, but I was always freaked out at the fact of losing my mom at the age of 15. Because my mom lost her mom when she was 15.
Oh, okay.
So growing up, I used to always be worried, like, damn, I don't want to be 15, because that's when
I don't want to
be 15 because I'm going to lose my mom. And, you know, when that shit, like, I passed that, I'm like, okay, well, I just, you know, you just associate different ages with certain things. And it's like, damn, dude, it just makes you think about how much time you really have and what you're doing with that.
What you doing with your time? That I posted that on my story the other day, I think last night, because I was up to like 5 in the morning or some shit, just working on shit. And I was like, stop fucking wasting time.
Yeah.
Stop fucking wasting your time, dog, because you don't got that much of it. You don't got a lot
at all.
So if you listening to this podcast, right, just think about it like this. If you listen to this podcast and you are 15, you got a little bit of time. If you listen to this podcast and you 20, the average life expectancy for the average male adult is 70 something. So you already a fourth of your life in.
Mm-hmm.
If you 30 and you listening to this podcast, you about almost you almost halfway through.
If you 40,
you almost halfway through. If you finna be 40, you are literally in the middle of your life.
Yeah. And there's, I don't think that there's anything as, going back to, I don't think there's anything as far as too old or too, whatever, but you have to have a good sense of where you're going. That's the overall message.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit here and say you have to have this by this age, but mentally you got to be prepped to say, like, when I was 19, I knew what I wanted to do. Wasn't nowhere close to it, but I knew what I wanted to do then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When I got 25, you know, certain things started happening, putting me in the direction of what I wanted to be, but I was constantly, like, evolving what I wanted to do. I was always mentally ready for the next step, right? So it's like the same thing. If you're not, I don't care if you're 19 or you're fucking 40, if you still, like, an in-between stage of, like, man, well, I think I want to, that's detrimental.
Yeah, you tripping.
You tripping. You should at least have an eye. I don't care if you change it. It's just like college. When you go to college and you change your majors, that's the whole point of it. You do some shit. You like it. You don't like it. Switch it up. Constantly evolve. But if you don't have a sense of, man, I don't know what I want to do, try it.
It's like we tell these rappers, get your shit together.
Man.
Get your shit together, bro. Find your address. Don't take my shit because I'm writing a book. I am officially, I do want to announce this, which I probably shouldn't. Salah's going to be upset, but
He don't listen, so you good.
Yeah, he don't listen to podcasts.
He old head. He was like, man, I just gotta listen to traditional radio.
DJ Head is officially in album mode.
Okay, Khaled. All right. Yes. Is this the kickoff?
Yeah, so it's go time.
Are you do you have an idea of when you want to drop the album, or is just like it's you?
I have an idea, but I'm not gonna say.
You're not gonna be the typical rapper.
No. It's a lot of big things.
Will Donald Trump still be in office?
Yeah.
When you drop the album?
When I don't know.
Because you're working on it.
You will definitely get, I'll say this, you will definitely get a DJ Head single before Christmas.
Oh, so 2019.
You get a DJ Head single before Christmas.
All right. This is news to me. I had no idea. I heard you say you're working on it, but yeah, I didn't know it was that soon.
So here's the thing. It's a lot of big things going down with DJ Head, with me.
All right, Rock. He's talking to third person over here.
Fourth person, because it's not my real name.
Okay, you're right. I hate your ass. I hate how literal you are.
Fourth quarter, it's big, some big things. Obviously, did we talk about the TV show?
Mentioned it vaguely.
Okay,
but... well,
so anyway, that's, you know, some TV shit coming down the pipeline. A lot of big
bro
things.
You know, you on TV, you keep wiping your goddamn eyes.
No, I mean,
you do that. I was trying to chop the videos last week and you doing that shit the whole time. It's hard to chop the videos when you do that.
I'm sorry.
God damn,
I got, you know, my eyes,
I get it, but for fucking 5 minutes,
my eyes are old.
All right, so anyway, your eyes know what they want to do yet in their life.
but it's definitely some things coming down the pipeline in the fourth quarter for me. So you can expect a DJ Head single before Christmas. I don't know where. I definitely know the why.
All right. So look, congratulations on that announcement. Speaking of new music, it's been a week since Schoolboy dropped. Thoughts on his album?
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah. I actually text Schoolboy Q. Let me see.
I like how transparent. He's always been a transparent person, but I like how he's opening up about his process.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he's extremely happy that this album is out, and because he said something before how every time his album drops, for whatever reason, some tragic shit happens.
Yep.
And to think about that, it's like, damn, that's kind of fucked up.
Every time I try to put some music out, something happens.
Something happened. And you can tell that he's extremely happy this go around. You know, he's been, you know, on different platforms saying didn't have any expectations, just put the music out there and just let it flow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
shout out to Groovy Q.
I'm not gonna lie though.
What?
This made me go back and listen to
Blank Face.
No.
Oh.
Shout out to Blank Face. I like that album. But I really like, there was he had two mixtapes. There was before the official TDE shit. Well, actually, no, it was TDE mixtapes, but before his albums actually dropped, which was GED, Getting Every Dollar, I believe. That one was trash. And I went back and listened to that. I didn't like that shit at all. The other one was Gangsta and Soul. Gangsta and Soul, this is right before Setbacks came out.
Yeah.
If you guys go back and just that's the Schoolboy Q I really like.
Why?
Because it's more melodic, but he's rapping his ass off.
Mm.
So it's melodic and bars. Not to say he doesn't have that now, but you can tell what he's doing right now is like, you can tell he's good. He's not tripping. Like, music
he's
is not.
He's golfing with George Lopez.
He's having a good life. And I love personally how that is for him.
Yeah.
But musically, it doesn't give me the Schoolboy Q that I like. You know what I mean? Like, he's got, obviously, the record with Ty. I love that song, like the 5200. I love that 5200, song, too.
5200, I told him that's my
shit. Yeah, so I love he has some records on there, but I found myself going back to Gangsta and Soul and just lit. And I know he probably thinks it's trash. He doesn't like it. But I loved how he had, you know, the bars and the melody with that particular project. I found myself listening to the whole thing. I love Setbacks. I love Habits and Contradictions. I love those projects. But for me, once his studio albums start coming out, I found myself loving just specific tracks and not the whole thing.
So yeah.
Salute to him, man. Anybody that can find a way out of their situation, he's living good. His daughter is fine. He's a great dad. And he's living his dream, man.
Shout out to Groovy Q, because one, like I do, like you said, I do love seeing the life that he's living now, because I remember homeless Schoolboy Q.
Yeah.
I remember Homeless Q.
Hell yeah.
And I remember that shit. I know who he was living with. Mm-hmm. I remember where. I remember the couch.
What he was
the
driving.
Person, the person's couch he was sleeping in on and all that.
Bumming rides from and
I
all
remember
that.
All that shit. And so, like, for me, it's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck yeah.
You want to see people like that.
I want to see that shit. I think that this album to me was more or less him like scratching an itch that he'd been meaning to scratch. And I got a bar that when we had a chance to interview him, he was saying that he was like, man, I'm tired of being depressed.
Mm-hmm. He's like, be happy.
He's like, I just want to be happy, bro. Like, I got my daughter. Like, yeah. I'm not broke. You know what I'm saying? I can't act like I'm broke. Like, I'm up. Like, I got a good life. And so I've been wanting to express that musically for a long time. And he haven't put out music
in 3 years.
3 years. Mm-hmm. So he was like, it's been a crazy 3 years. Like, he doing the festivals. He's like, bro, I'm living life, and I've been meaning to express that musically, and I've just been tired of doing the dark shit. So that's another reason why I like where he's at musically.
But you don't feel like this album kind of sounds dark as well?
No, some of it, I mean, it's still street.
Yeah.
It's still some street shit on there. But I definitely hear
the happiness.
I hear him celebrating more so than him prophesizing like doom and
gotcha.
Like,
I gotcha.
Because even when Setbacks came out,
oh yeah, that shit's dark. No, that shit is all dark.
Blank Face was more like a story. It was his story. It was from, you know, his hood.
That shit was amazing. From a story's perspective, that Blank Face was the shit.
Yeah. And then so that's why I feel like Crash Talk is more like him celebrating where he is, but then also explaining why he's celebrating where he is.
Did he tell you guys why he called it Crash Talk?
Nah, I don't think I asked him that.
Yeah. Just trying to figure that out. I'm gonna promote something else, but who cares? I really love the interview, and I love the snippet that I saw. But if you guys get a second, check out he did an interview with Ebro. Mm-hmm. And this, I haven't seen a whole interview, but the snippet that I did see, I've never seen Q like this. Ebro asked him about gangs in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, just to make a long ass story short, he's like, this ain't for the people. Like, the real shit is not on the mic, you know. And he's like, it's not for people to understand. So I don't care if people understand it or not. Like, it's not for them. People don't understand me being Schoolboy Q. I still have, I'm still weirded out by, you know, certain areas that I go to. And he's like, I'm the most humblest dude. I'm cool. He's like, but me being Schoolboy Q, being from my gang ties, it still puts me in a weird position where I go throughout LA.
Yeah.
And I was just like, damn, that's so fucking profound that I think we take it for granted because we live here. We know, you know, the rules or whatever. And even with us knowing certain shit, there's still shit that we don't know because we don't live that life.
Yeah.
So that's what he was speaking to. He was like, look, the world doesn't need to know any of that. And it just made me think of like fraternities and other organizations, religion, just whatever. There's certain things that are for service value that people get to see. Mm. But then there's a whole different side that people don't know about and aren't privy to that information because they don't live that life. And I thought it was so dope that he said that. And he was speaking on Mac Miller, and he got choked up. He was just like, man, I don't even want to talk about it no more because, like, that was my homie. You'll never hear me have a Mac Miller tribute song. You won't hear me do that because I got to see his mom, man. Like, I know that she's listening to my album, so I wouldn't make music in regards to Mac Miller because I don't want to profit off of that. So the fact that I just it was a rare form of Q, like, and we know how transparent Q is. We know the joke. We know Q. But for me, even knowing him, looking at that interview, I was like, damn, that's some shit I haven't seen him express to the world like that. So I thought that was dope, man. If you guys get a chance, check out the little snippet that's out there. Really good side of a Q, man. I had to share with a couple of folks.
I love where Q is at. Mm-hmm. I love where Q is at right now. I also think, sidebar, I also want to shout out, you know, not just Nip, but like Nipsey, definitely, and a couple of other people who make it a point to tap in with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nipsey always made it a point to like fuck with us.
Yeah.
Hey, Chuck, Head, you know, I fuck with y'all. I like what y'all are doing. TDE is always fuck with us. You know, shout out to Rhett and Musa.
Yep,
Musa, man, if you don't know who Musa is, get a bar. But you know, I'm putting some shit together, you know, for BET, and Moose was like, bro, like, hey, you with us, man. Right, whatever right. you need, I'm going to make happen. Yeah. Like, you know, anything short of, like, Dot right. performing for free right, for right. some, for you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was like, bro, like, whatever y'all need, like, you know, it's all, like, y'all with us.
Yeah, and so, it's appreciation when you see him in public, and it's just, it reminds me of just all us all running at a certain point in time, all trying to get it. It's weird. It's like being invited to a party, right?
Yeah.
And you get into the party like, oh, my nigga, you here? Ah, what's up?
Like a J-Rock birthday party.
Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly. It's like this music industry, from our perspective, it's like that. When you get into the party and you see all the homies that you were trying to get into the party with, you guys all made it in. It's one of those celebratory moments. It's like, damn, okay, it's kind of cool.
I was talking, I was talking to Productions by Rob.
That's not normal.
And he was
that's not normal.
I think he's the one who told me. He's like, bro, you an industry nigga. Oh, no. EJ.
EJ full of shit, though.
EJ the DJ. He told me, he's like, head, I don't know if you know or not, but you an industry nigga now. Like, and I was like, he was like, I know you don't look at yourself like that.
Hey, but see, the reason why is because EJ always be playing it up. He's like, man, shit, man, y'all big time, man. I can't get it.
Yeah.
So shut your ass up, EJ. But no, he said you an industry cat. Why?
I think because, like, we just don't look at ourselves like
nah,
that.
No, of course not.
Like, you be at the mall or you be out with your, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I go everywhere by myself or with Silas. And so I think it fucks people up, like being at Payday LA.
Yeah.
It was me and Sasha.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Sasha.
We just pulled
Sasha,
up.
Sasha, yeah.
Sasha was at the radio station. I was like, hey, let's go pull up on Asia and Tayef and them real quick. And Keon. Shout out to Keon Bill. And so she was like, all right, let's go. And we just jumped in, like, we parked our cars here, mm-hmm. and we just jumped in the Uber and just went down there. And I was like, damn, you really just, like, got off the radio and came down here? Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
Why wouldn't I?
And it was like, I think it just fucks people's mind up.
Yeah.
Because you don't see motherfuckers from other radio stations or see motherfuckers from other shows or whatever pulling up. And it's just like, nah, I'm from here. Like,
yeah.
It's different.
No, it's totally different, man. I also wanted to shout Asia out again. I know we shouted our last podcast, but I got a chance to actually listen to the album.
You fuck with it?
Really like it, man.
Yeah.
I really like it. I like the direction that she's going. I like, I can kind of hear now what you guys were talking about in terms of you saying, just relax, just do it. It sounded like it was just effortless. It just flowed. And I found myself, you know, I don't listen. I consume music in a different way. Mm-hmm. First of all, I don't listen to albums like when they first come out because I feel like the hype is out there. Everybody's talking about it. I like mm-hmm. to form my own opinion. Mm-hmm. So I'll know about a single or a song, but I won't dive into the album until I actually have time, whether I'm, you know, in the streets or, you know, working on some stuff. I just have it playing in the background where I can really consume it and listen to it. But yeah, I really liked her stuff. I just liked her, the vibe that she has. I like the flow. I like the fact that I didn't realize I was like 7 songs in, and I'm like, damn, this shit is.
It's a flow.
Yep. It's a like you don't. There's no skipping factor to it.
Yeah.
At least not until I got maybe a track, yeah, because I didn't skip through it, but like maybe 8 or 9, I realized like, damn, I'm 9 tracks in. Like,
yeah.
So the fact that it flowed to that extent, I like the fact that she did that. I also want to shout out, the two well, this new dude named Rasul, who performed at Payday LA.
Mm-hmm.
I liked his presentation on stage, and you mentioned Coast Contra as well. I've been seeing them cats grind for a minute, but I've never seen them perform. I've seen them do freestyles, but I never seen them perform on stage. And you gotta imagine, it's 4 motherfuckers. That is not easy. The way they performed that night is not easy to do.
No.
They wasn't just rapidly
rapping. That's a lot of rehearsal.
They made it a point to make a presentation, and I just want to shout them two out because of their stage presence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's one thing that cats have to understand, that people are going to pay attention to your music more on because of how you present it to the people. If it sounds good, cool. But if you perform it in a certain way where it's going to catch their attention— You got them.
You got them.
You don't listen to a lot of shit like that.
Nah.
Especially, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know your taste in music.
Yeah.
So, like, for you to be like, yo, they hard. I fuck with them. They did something to catch your attention.
It was the show.
Yeah.
It was the performance. But see, I look at them like, that's how Coast Contra, that's how they got me with the performance. Because that's how I first got introduced to Tech N9ne.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never listened to Tech N9ne's
right,
music.
Right.
Just, you know, turning on his music and streaming it or whatever, or CDs back in the day, like mm-hmm. never. But Glasses drugged me. He's like, man, I'm telling you, cuz.
Gotta go.
You gotta see this nigga perform, cuz.
I've never been to a Tech N9ne show. I've heard about
really?
It. I've never been to any of his shows.
Oh, no, you gotta.
He said,
no, I gotta take
it. He performs like damn near 300 days out the year, so you would think I would see it.
Bro, you gotta go to that shit.
But check it. I've seen clips, but I haven't experienced the show.
You
like
gotta
that.
Experience that shit. It's like watching Coast Contra, but on a whole nother with the light. I mean, so.
A produced version of that.
So, Tech dances. He has choreography with the lights.
Oh, damn.
Like when he goes, like, he put his arm up the light, like a strobe.
How you do it?
Like boom, and he got dance steps. Him and Chris Kallick, like it's some shit.
Yeah.
So anyway, long story short, that's what made me like his music was the performance.
You saw the potential of what it could be.
I'm talking about Tech N9ne.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
When I first got a bar of Tech N9ne's performance, I was drawn in by the performance. I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It's an experience, mm-hmm. and I felt like watching Coast Contra. It was like, damn, that shit is dope experience to see. Like even how they started, like they stay set tripping.
Yeah,
it's a whole production, and I'm like, this shit is dope because it's effort that goes into it. It's rehearsals. It's a lot of like, you could just see it. So I fuck with that shit.
Yeah, man. So shout out to him.
We gonna talk about Soulja Boy.
Man, here's my thing with Soulja Boy. You had one job, dog. Just sit down. You had people's attention, man. You had people's attention. He was going. Him going to jail at this point, it was a 240
days for parole violation because.
What did he do?
He didn't do his community service.
Nigga.
In time.
Nigga, what are you talking about? Are you serious?
He didn't do his community service, but then tried to falsify, like basically, hey, you know, just say I did it, kind of sign off or whatever. I don't know how it went, but. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Although I would like to ridicule Soulja Boy for not doing his community service, nobody wants to do that
shit. Nobody wants to do that, but bruh.
But I know you high profile, you got to do your shit. But then also, like that, okay, for instance, let's say right now you owe 2 racks in parking tickets.
Okay.
Okay. You owe $2,000 in parking tickets. I come to you, I'm like, bro, I got a plug. Somebody, hey, you shoot him 300-400
and take it off your record.
And he'll just go in the system and erase that shit.
But is that the case? Is that what happened?
I'm just saying. I'm asking you.
Okay, if you ask me to do that,
you owe $2,500 in parking tickets, right? They won't let you renew your registration until you pay. You know how this shit go in California,
right?
So I'm like Chuck. Hey, the homie work at the DMV. He, throw him $400. And he just go in and erase all of the shit off you.
I'm going to tell you why I wouldn't believe that. Because I feel like I could strike a better deal with the court.
More than 400?
I can do a day of community service with the court or spend a night in jail. Or if you telling me I got to pay two
you
racks.
You'd rather spend a night in jail than pay 400? Man,
right now?
No, I'm saying. No.
Right now, if you telling me a night in jail versus 400 and it might come back. Like if I do that night in jail, I know it's not coming back.
Right.
So I'm doing that. Yeah. If you tell me 400, hey, here's the thing with shit like that. Everybody gives you the heads up, like, I got this plug, but you know in the back of your mind it's not guaranteed.
Yeah.
So some shit pop, just like with taxes or anything like that, man, I can clear your shit up, but hey.
Clear your credit.
There's always but hey, I'm not dealing with that, but I don't want to deal. I don't want to take that chance, but hey, because I know how it is when motherfuckers have to get, What's the tax shit when they come back for the taxes?
Audited.
When you get audited, then they ain't gonna be there.
Nah, hell
they not
nah.
gonna be there.
I'm getting the low.
Exactly.
Get low. They busted.
Boo. Boo. They ain't gonna be there. That night in jail, I know, okay, signed off, boom, 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 it's taken care of. I'd rather, now if the courts say, like,
you gotta pay the whole fine.
You gotta pay the whole fine.
Or you could throw the homie 400.
I was going to pay the 2 racks anyway. So, I mean, I'm going to throw the 4 if I know that there's nothing. If I ain't got no options.
So what I'm saying to you is.
If there's no options.
It's not far-fetched to believe that he tried to get some falsified documents or falsify his involvement in doing this community service. Especially if you're rich.
Of course. And probably he's probably done this before.
Facts.
And got away with it.
Facts.
So, but my thing is this. You've been in this situation before. You got shit going up. This is not the time to sit down. Early this year. Was it early this year or last year?
It was.
Yeah, the greatest 2018 night, whatever it was.
Yeah.
He was on top of the world. But it also goes to show you, like, how fast shit can switch.
Yeah,
so
man.
you gotta make sure you operate in the right way, man. Like, that, I just can't believe it. We're talking about it right now. We're not even halfway through the year. We were talking about, man, hey, Soldier, Big Soldier, Big Soldier.
Shout out to Big Soldier, man.
And
Soldier.
Now he's, man, dog, this Soldier's back in jail. Free Big Soldier.
Nah.
Don't free him.
I mean, I don't ever say free anybody.
Don't free him.
I don't say free anybody.
Why not?
I just don't know. I don't know if they supposed to be there or not.
I don't want Soldier Boy to be in jail. Like,
I wasn't there.
I want him to do his time.
I wasn't there.
I want him to get out, though.
I wasn't there.
I don't know
what he did or didn't do or what he owe or what he don't owe. I don't say free nobody. And I have a cousin in jail. I know he didn't do it.
Yeah.
I fuck with Tax Stone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying free nobody.
That's crazy.
I'm not saying free nobody because I wasn't there.
Let's just switch sides real quick. Let's talk.
I learned that.
Man, look.
Hold on, listen. I learned that from Glasses, actually. Because one of his he told me about a story. One of his homies from his hood was doing some wild shit.
Right.
I'm talking about, I'll tell you when we finish.
Right.
And he was like, you know what? That nigga should probably be in there. I was like, he was like, and that's my homie. That's my big homie from my hood. Oh, and you know what?
He need to sit down.
He probably should just be in there right now because he was doing some fucked up shit out here.
My point is, I
don't want no black man to be in jail.
That's
but you
my
know,
thing. I don't want Soldier to, like, I want, he needs to do the time, bro. Just do the
but
time.
I wasn't
back,
there.
Come
so
back
I,
better. That's all I'm saying.
I wasn't there.
I don't want him to be in jail for a long time.
I wasn't there. That's all I'm saying. I was not there. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Can we switch sides in real
go
quick?
Ahead,
talk
go
about
ahead,
this B-Sides, Jay-Z, B-Sides. He showed some love to Nipsey in New York. And I, you know, I'll be the one to say, tell people, I wasn't, you know, growing up, I wasn't the cat that was Rockefeller. I wasn't East Coast Bay. So I didn't realize, I know it was a big moment, but I didn't realize how big of a moment him and Cameron, when they got on stage together for the first time.
Yeah.
Him and Nas got on stage. Him and Cameron was a bigger deal. And I feel like that didn't get as much love as I thought it should have gotten across.
What, the Nas thing?
No, not Nas. Him and Cameron.
Oh, the recent one.
Yeah. Him and Cam it was the same night, but him and Cam getting on stage didn't really get too much press. But, I mean, salute to Hov. Hov is always showing us
how to
do it and what not only what hip-hop can do, but just evolving as a businessman. It's a black man, entrepreneur, like all those conversations. It's dope to see him. Like, and I never thought I would look at Jay-Z that way. But as time goes by, you gotta give it up to him, man. You gotta give it up to Hov. And not only that, even relationship wise, going through the bullshit he went through with B and, you know, all that, and to come out the way it is and them still standing together, you just gotta give him props for that.
Shout out to Hov, bro. Unfuckwittable.
So yeah, salute to Hov. We talked about a lot of shit already. We good, right?
Yeah.
So make sure you do subscribe. If you haven't subscribed, you just listen to the podcast for the first time, subscribe, take us with you.
I do want to shout out to Nipsey's sister, Samantha Smith, for trying to get guardianship. I know that I heard as of us recording this, she was denied guardianship over Imani. So I don't know what's going to happen with Nip's daughter and shit like that. But, you know, I hope I don't know. I don't want to get it. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but I don't know how involved. You know, something like this happened, you just don't know.
Yeah.
And that's not my family. I don't really know what's going on. I think him and Lauren built something special. Yeah. Even though they wasn't married, everybody know what it is. Yeah. So, I mean, let them. I know his kids are good, but even his, like, estate. I know Nip was smart enough. He had life insurance. He had all these things, man.
He said it on the record, too.
Let Lauren and the kids work that shit out. You know what I'm saying? Period. That's what they was building. They had the family. So it is what it is.
What I do like, and it just popped up today. Shout out to Jorge, man. That prolific billboard.
Shout out to Jorge Peniche.
Oh my God.
Man,
that's amazing. Just to see the prolific. It's just
congratulations to them too.
Oh, to Jorge and Letty. Yeah.
Letty had another baby.
Man, and they named him after
I think his middle name.
The middle name is Ermias.
Ermias.
So salute to Letty. Salute to Jorge. Yeah, man. Much love, respect. Appreciate you guys. Always tapping in. Make sure you follow us on all the social medias at Homegrown Radio. Tidal, we coming for you. You know what I'm saying? We all the other streaming platforms. We coming for y'all.
Hey, shout out to the iHeart gods out here.
They got us looking.
You know what I'm saying?
They got me looking crazy, but they all over the, you know.
Hey, we all over the screens up here, iHeart Media. They trying to get us some monies,
man.
Some sponsorships for this little podcast that could.
Speaking of which, man, info@homegrownradio.net.
Yeah, any business opportunities you may have, info@homegrownradio.net.
Please do that, man. Homegrown Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head, and we out.